Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Born Yesterday, a podcast experiment in which myself and Andy Barr.
Yes.
Have been cloning ourselves.
That is 100% correct, Alexander. You've really hit the nail on the head there. We have been cloning ourselves, and we have given those clones two special comedian guests to explain things to them, on the understanding that they only understand what three other things are.
Those three other things in this episode are what a Wicker Man is,
Goths,
and Noel Edmonds.
Yeah, broad spectrum of things there.
Hmm. Andy?
Yes?
Wicker Men were made famous in modern times by the film The Wicker Man.
Absolutely right.
Starring Edward Woodward and Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Have you seen this film?
I have.
What do you make of it?
I thought it was very good.
I love The Wicker Man.
I enjoyed it.
I love The Wicker Man so much.
I can't remember a huge amount about it.
Hmm. Well, spoilers for The Wicker Man, if you're listening. How would I sum it up? Virgin policeman tries to find little girl, then gets killed.
Mm.
That's the whole plot.
Have you ever been into a vibrant pub, which immediately ceases its vibrancy and everybody turns to look at you when you enter?
Yes, in the Old West, Andy, I've had this experience.
How was it? How did that make you feel?
Unnerved, you know. Mm. The barman stopped cleaning the glass.
Yeah.
The guy at the piano stopped.
Yeah.
I could hear naught but the wind.
Yeah.
Are you saying that's a similar experience to The Wicker Man?
I think so.
I think that literally happens in
yes.
The Wicker Man.
Yeah. Hence my bringing it up.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fun inn.
Yeah. He walks into a pub. It's a very quick escalation in The Wicker Man, because he walks into a pub, things get awkward, and then in the middle of the night, everyone's fucking outside.
Yeah. But that's just island life. It's just island life. And, you know, when people from the outside come in, they don't understand the traditions and the way of things around there. And I think in many ways, Edward Woodward's policeman is somewhat culpable.
In ruining those traditions.
Yeah, for what happens to him.
Well, you know, we the British, we have a culture, and we need to fight to preserve that culture.
Absolutely.
And we can't have naysayers, probably from Brussels, coming in and telling us who we can and can't burn in our giant Wicker Man.
Exactly. If you see Ursula von der Leyen coming in saying that you can't flay someone in order to improve a harvest, you send her packing or flay her.
I can't imagine the amount of times that, let's say, Angela Merkel got on the Eurostar to stop good English people from drowning a series of small girls just to improve the harvest.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you can picture her, can't you? hearing tell that somebody in the agriculture business over in, you know, Shropshire or Rutland,
or the Scottish Islands,
or the Scottish Islands, or Cornwall, you know, is taking measures into their own hands to improve their business. She's getting her ticket.
We're taking back control in our own way.
Yeah,
and they're going, have you done a risk assessment on this wicker man?
Yeah.
You need tape 10 feet on either side of the wicker man, and you're going to put people inside it.
Mm.
There's a form for that.
It really is dreadful.
Mm. if you were going to sacrifice...
They'll probably want hazard tape on the ley lines.
If you were to sacrifice a series of humans and animals in order to improve the harvest, Andy, what giant wicker thing would you create?
Well, I think a representation of the whatever crop you wanted to improve would be a good place to start. I think there would be a nice...
So a big onion.
Yeah, obviously it's not an exact science, but I think it feels like that would be an appropriate course of action.
I don't think that is the sort of attitude that people who invented the concept of a wicker man, I don't think, you know, in the Middle Ages, where I believe that this stuff happened for the first time,
yeah.
I don't think they'd filled a giant wicker man full of chickens and performed a ritual. And I don't think that the sort of village elder was stood looking over this going,
well, this might work.
It's not exact science.
I've got a hunch.
It's more of an art than a science.
Yeah. Let's just let this one play out and see, see what happens. The other thing that I would do is, obviously, presumably, you're doing this for a crop that has experienced a blight or is otherwise not yielding at the level that you'd like. However, I would probably... feed up the sacrificee on the crop beforehand if we had some that we could spare for this measure. Because, you know, it just seems to align generally with how it feels like it should work.
Yeah. There does seem to be a lot of guesswork involved in these sort of rituals.
Mm.
I wonder how many things they got through before they got to, let's just burn a load of stuff in a big wicker.
Yeah.
Just constantly trying. So if you're a medieval peasant and you believe that your crop yield is dependent on the sort of whim of a god that you have no control over, rather than just, you know, the soil's crap or it's bad seeds, the amount of stuff you must try to gods.
I think it seems to be that there are basically two avenues which can be tried, which is, we've got a problem, let's fuck about it.
Yeah.
And then if that doesn't work, let's just start killing people.
I think it's three stages. It's let's fuck about it.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, okay, nobody fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you have the sort of control state.
Mm.
And then you go, okay, now we need to burn things.
And then after that, somebody goes, right, okay, I'm going to spread some salt around and let's see if a demon can help out with this.
I would prefer that to... You know
what, you're bumping demon up the
Well, I knew too many people who are into tarot cards and crystals. And I'm not saying that I want to see people burnt in a wicker man.
Right.
But I'm saying that I do want the sort of same sort of old English mysticism. Bring back our myths and legends.
Yes, well, I think there are a lot of organizations that are doing some work towards this, but they also have some other concerns as well.
You, Andy,
yes,
unlike me, have seen the Nicolas Cage remake of The Wicker Man.
I have, yes. What a film. It's great.
Nicolas Cage now has to be in anything that he's offered because he had a ludicrous spending habit and sort of owned castles and things.
Mm.
And now he just has to appear in basically anything.
Yeah. He seems to enjoy it, though.
He does a great job, more often than not, of taking a role that he basically doesn't want to be doing and having fun with it.
Mm.
And ultimately, you know, films are entertainment, and there's not many actors that are more entertaining than Nicolas Cage.
Have you seen Mandy?
I have not seen Mandy.
Oh, man. Great.
I think he's... I think the first Kick-Ass movie is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's one of the best things in it.
Yeah.
It's a really funny performance.
Yeah. And he didn't turn around afterwards and go, I hated this. This film is immoral, like bloody Carrey, after he did the second one, which I've not seen.
Oh, did Jim Carrey say I don't like...
I think he found there was too much swearing in it or something. It was very, very strange.
I don't like the language here. I stand by the ending of the first Ace Ventura film, but there were too many bad words in Kick-Ass. The sequel to the film, which is largely known because a little girl says cunt in the first one, I didn't like. I stand by the ending of the first Ace Ventura film, but there were too many bad words in Kick-Ass 2.
The second Ace Ventura film, pretty fucking bad as well for content.
Well,
I
can't really remember it, but I do remember a tribal dance scene. Mm. I have a dim memory of that.
Yeah, it was the 90s.
It was the 90s.
Yeah, now people were still getting used to the existence of other people and differences between them.
People were still getting used to the idea of a pet detective. I don't know if I ever told you, because Christopher Lee is in The Wicker Man.
Yep.
You
didn't need to tell me, I knew.
I absolutely love Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Fascinating human being. Mm. He in the last few years of his life, he used to release a Christmas message every Christmas. Mm. My favourite of which is the last one, because he's talking about having just done the Hobbit films.
Mm.
And he says, I hope you all enjoy the films when they are released. I almost certainly will not be alive to watch them, but I'm sure they'll be an enormous success.
It really is heartening that he wasn't alive to watch them, because they were fucking awful.
The Hobbit movies are shit.
Truly crap. You could have made a good one film.
Yeah. So that's what we think of The Wicker Man.
Yeah. You ever seen a goth?
I'm a big fan of goths.
Yep.
I wasn't brave enough to be a goth as a kid. It's as simple as that. I probably should have been dressing completely in black and listening to that music and being more experimental, but I just didn't have enough courage to do so, because I think it does take courage to be a goth.
Absolutely. I'll tell you my favourite goth memory.
Go on.
A couple of years back, I went back to Folkestone for a little day trip.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very hot day.
Mm.
And there was a goth there. He had his really dark black, clearly thick material trousers on, had a cane, had a top hat, but it was a hot day, so he'd taken his shirt off. It was great, because that is a level of confidence above the confidence or the confidence required to be a goth in the first place.
Yeah.
Then shirt's coming off, and he was as pale as I am, possibly paler.
Yeah. Did you listen to any of the bands that goths tend to listen to? You don't like heavy guitar sounds, do you?
I'm not that big on the kind of sort of like death metal grindcore sort of guitar tones.
Yeah.
I like a few Cure songs.
Hey.
Yeah. But I would struggle to name many goth bands.
Yeah.
Bauhaus.
Yeah. I mean, all the goths I knew growing up were just extremely into My Chemical Romance.
Well, I thought that was more of an emo preoccupation.
Yeah. In Shropshire, we didn't have the sophistication to differentiate, really, between goths and emos.
Yeah.
So, and also everyone was into My Chemical Romance. Just some of us more than others.
I wasn't.
No?
No, I made a very clear stand on this.
Did you
fucking hated them.
Did you?
Yeah. Really didn't like them.
You did not enjoy the shouting?
No.
No?
No, no, no. I like different kinds of shouting.
Not like the opening bit of the Black Parade?
No, 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 no. I thought it was fucking awful. But I'm sorry to any fans out there. But I would hope that if anyone has become invested in my personality, my tastes, it wouldn't be too far outside of the realms of expectations that I should absolutely loathe My Chemical Romance.
My friend Yusuf went to see My Chemical Romance on their recent reunion tour.
But it seems like fucking half the people we know did.
Yeah. And he, in our group chat, he sent us a text going, I've never seen so many goths in one place.
Mm.
To which I commented, that's rather like saying, didn't expect so many giant mice to be at Disneyland.
You expect two.
Yeah. At least.
Yeah.
And then possibly the same, but in different outfits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are there any other Disney mice? Mickey, Minnie? What else have they got going on?
I think Mickey has...
Friends.
Friends and children.
Children.
I think so.
Yeah, and there'd be a lot of those, because I think mice probably have fairly big litters.
Are you familiar with the concept of a rat king, Andy?
Yes. Well, yes, I am, yeah.
If you're listeners, if you're not, it's sort of rats are sort of born with their... A litter of rats is born with their sort of tails all melded together. Or I don't know if it happens after birth.
But I think it happens after birth.
But basically, 10 rats have to become one thing because all of their tails are knotted together. And I wonder if there's a mini Mickey sort of version of this in a dark corner of Disneyland.
Well, maybe, but they have, I think mice generally have more, their tails are more slight.
You can imagine a rat's tail
getting all mangled up with others, but a mouse's tail feels a lot more sort of silky and lithe, and it wouldn't do that sort of thing. However, obviously, you know, Mickey and Minnie are sort of anomalous abominations whose tails probably would have the capacity to.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe that's where all the other mice are.
Yeah. I knew someone who was Minnie Mouse at a Disney park.
Wow.
Because you have to be a very specific height to fit in the costumes.
Yeah. How high?
5'1".
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cramped.
Mm.
Claustrophobic.
Yeah, I can imagine. And then getting lots of hugs.
This girl that I knew, someone I also briefly dated, she played Minnie Mouse and Scrooge McDuck.
Wow.
Were her two.
Now that's range.
No. I was going to say, you talk about these actors, Gary Oldman disappearing into the roles. If you can play a sort of eccentric Scottish billionaire and, you know, a girl, or whatever Minnie's personality is.
I think you pretty much hit it on the head there.
Minnie and Mickey Mouse are shit. They're the least interesting, I'm not just Disney characters, but cartoon characters.
At least Mickey Mouse can drive a boat.
He can drive a boat. He's got that skill that he's demonstrated once in his 100-year career.
He got that on the ledger fairly early, though.
He did.
All right. Stating my case. Here's what I've got. I can drive a boat.
And he's trying to mark himself out amongst other cartoon characters of the time. You know, Betty Boop. Okay. Whatever that black cat was called. And he's going, all right. But can they? Do they have any maritime ability? Can Betty Boop bring a ship into port under a heavy gale?
No, absolutely not.
Well,
big eyes, though. Probably could.
Handy
for discerning objects on a foggy day from the. I don't know. You'd assume that the eyes of that size would come with some sort of vision benefits.
I do.
And a huge head, so maybe there's extra processing capabilities in that.
I don't think it's part of the Betty Boop lore that she's got like an owl's like ability. And because of the size of a cranium, there's a huge amount of Betty Boop is actually one of the most perceptive and intelligent characters in all fiction.
held back by chronic neck pain.
She expresses her incredible perception of the entire human race through a catchphrase, which is boop, boop, be doop.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, you know, if you were to transfer her over into the world of science fiction and sort of aliens and that, she would be assumed to be telepathic with a head of that size.
Yeah. So she's telepathic.
Yeah.
Mickey can drive a boat.
Yeah. I don't know which cat you were talking about.
There was a sort of early... Is it just called Felix?
Maybe.
Is it Felix the cat? Yeah. There's a 30s cartoon.
Right, okay.
Probably earlier than 30s, in fact. Or is Felix the cat the sort of edgy, sexy one in like the 80s?
I couldn't tell you. No. This is not in my... There's Sylvester. He's a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Tom. He's a cat.
Yep. Yeah.
Whoever that bloke who lives next to Goofy is, he's a sort of cat thing.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he is.
I'm not familiar with him. I don't really know much about the Goofy extended universe.
He's the oldest Disney character. What's his name?
Talk amongst yourselves.
It's not Pluto.
No, it's not.
It's not John.
John? Well, Goofy, it's me, your neighbour. John. John Cat. If you need anything, just let me know. I'm usually in. We are now able to reveal that the real name of John Cat is...
You're going to be upset, Andy.
What is it?
His name's Pete.
Pete Cat.
Yeah.
Wow.
which is a whisker away from John.
He's probably got a brother in the back.
I love the Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck,
yeah.
Goofy
dog.
Just Pete.
You know, he may have been the earliest Disney character, but clearly there wasn't a great deal going on with him. So,
Bugs Bunny,
yeah.
Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, Jeff.
Elmer Fudd Redneck. Somebody else who provides a service. Britain's greatest entertainer, Noel Edmonds.
And shepherd of all of our wicker mans, Mr. Blobby.
I think this is
the people's wicker man,
yeah.
Mr. Blobby.
This is another episode which includes an extensive discussion of Mr. Blobby. I think he comes up fairly frequently, and I don't know what that says about the damage that has been wrought on the collective national psyche by Mr. Blobby.
Did I tell you about the time I went to a festival last year and hung out with a friend of a friend who is from Amsterdam originally, I think, and just telling her what Mr. Blobby was... And sort of how he appeared in our childhoods, and that he was an agent of chaos, which is what Blobby is.
Yeah.
We gave her all of this information, and at the very end of it, we said, just Google image search what this guy looks like.
Yeah.
And she said, oh my God, in such a sincere way.
It's odd that, because I had always assumed that that Mr. Blobby was probably one of the most European television traditions that we had.
Yeah.
He feels like something which would crop up on, you know, German TV as just some...
Yeah, but maybe that stems from sort of, you know, a view that, you know, we're not as weird as the rest of Europe, but actually we're the weird ones.
Yeah.
With our big screaming pink bloke on children's TV.
Yeah. But I don't know. Did you see that there was a clip going around recently of, I think it was a Latvian sort of public service broadcaster trying to get kids not to go on play around on train tracks.
Yeah.
And they kind of, these little plasticine children accidentally make a train come off the train tracks, and then it follows them around and bursts into a room that they're in. And then the driver gets out and says in Latvian, "What now?" It's fucking super.
That's fucking great.
I really recommend looking that up.
But we're not discussing Mr. Blobby.
No.
We're discussing Noel
Edmonds. His handler.
We're discussing the brains of the Blobby operation. Noel Edmonds, who created a theme park based around Mr. Blobby.
Yeah.
And basically wanted to start his own Alton Towers. Blobby Land was only a small part of it. Noel Edmonds spent a good number of years trying to build his own theme park that would have a zoo and a Noel Edmonds Centre or whatever that is.
Well, presumably the Noel Edmonds Centre would start off being a kind of sort of wacky place and then gradually get more concerned with...
cloning.
Possibly, but also, you know, cosmic ordering and various New Age practices.
Yeah.
And then, at some point, people who worked at the Noel Edmonds Centre or who'd spent a little too much time there would start to grow to resent and fear their families and friends and would be convinced that the safest and best place to be would be remaining at the Noel Edmonds Centre.
And working on creating... I'm seeing the Noel Edmonds Centre as very much a sort of Jurassic Park facility.
Mm.
Where, you know, you can see them in the wild.
I'm conceiving of it more as a hair's breadth from Britain's Manson family.
You know, Noel Edmonds actually never killed anyone himself.
That was the punch he got.
But the stunt crew, on the other hand.
He just happened to be instrumental to
it. For any younger listeners, Noel Edmonds was a sort of Alec Baldwin of his day. What are the full details of that? Are there two deaths?
No, I think there was just the one. And I think there is... I think maybe that there's been less and less clarity about it, or that some false narratives have been generated. I don't think it was actually televised.
Yeah.
I think maybe it was like in the warm-ups for something. Guy who was scared of bungee jumping was...
Oh, God.
Was made to do a bungee jump and
proven
absolutely 100% right, but not around to see it.
Yeah. I do remember Noel's house party as a kid.
Mm.
And you watch it back now and it could barely be described as entertainment.
It's deranged.
And it's like, was it like Saturday Night TV?
I think so, yeah. I think it feels like the spiritual ancestor of the Saturday Night Takeaway, but that is a perfected format.
Well, that is at least, you think about that show, it is at least a well-produced show.
It is ultra entertainment. It is.
Noel's house party is sort of pitched at toddlers. The way that he speaks to the audience and the bits that they're doing.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Joan Collins is involved or whatever.
Yeah.
And Blobby knocks her down.
He's got to. He must. He doesn't want to. Inside Blobby, there is a sound, rational mind.
Trapped.
He's possessed or something.
Not enough has been made of, and I'm going to put this out there because I feel like somebody should, not enough has been made of Mr. Blobby's violence towards women. Because the amount of time that he knocked over Joan Collins... Maybe Mr. Blobby has seen... Maybe he's been in the services before and he's seen combat, perhaps in Iraq. And he's just lashing out in an uncontrolled way.
You heard it here first. Mr. Blobby has Gulf War syndrome.
Yeah, he's... he wants to be... there's a sound, rational mind in there.
Mm.
And then he just, he sees the last breaths of his brothers on the battlefield.
Yeah.
And he can't stop himself and he just lashes out.
Who's the guy who did Dead Men's Shoes?
Shane Meadows.
Would you like to see a Shane Meadows film about Blobby?
Yeah, I would. Absolutely.
I would as well. Taking this narrative and running with it.
Dead man's blobbies.
Something like that. Dead blobbies. They'd blob his pants. I don't know.
The scene in Dead Man's Shoes where he creeps into their house and poisons the thing that they're drinking and fucks around with them while they're all unconscious. Mr. Blobby just
bursts and knocks everything out.
Crashes through the window, burns himself. Blobby! Our two guests in this episode are Harriet Kemsley and Alex Keeley. You can find Harriet Kemsley at Harriet Kemsley on Twitter. She is the star of Bobby and Harriet Get Married. She's recording a stand-up special soon, so that should be available in the future to watch. And Harriet gigs all the time. She might still be on tour with her show Honeysuckle Island. Look that up to see if there are tickets available. Go see Harriet. She's very funny.
And go see Hamlet. What a play. You can find Alex Keeley on Twitter at Alex Keeley. That's Keeley spelled K-E-A-L-Y. He also does a podcast with Ivo Graham called Gig Pigs, which I'm sure is a lot of fun. And he's got a link tree. If you were to be listening to this as we are recording it, you would be able to go and see him at the Soho Theatre on the 2 days after the recording. However, this will not be out in time, so let's hope that you just somehow happen to go and see that. His 2019 show, Rationale, is on next up, and he also has links to his March and April tour dates and tickets. So get that up, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Harriet has shows on next up as well.
Yeah. Go back through the Next Up catalogue and just type in the name of anyone who's been on the podcast, and it may be a sort of 50% hit rate.
Should we listen to the episode?
Yeah.
Alex Keeley and Harriet Kemsley, thank you very much for agreeing to explain a few things to us today.
Hello, you've come to the right place.
Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Good. I'm glad that we've come to the right place. Myself and Andy have only been alive for a day.
Where?
And in that day, we have come to learn something of the following three things.
We are familiar with a wicker man.
We know what goths are.
And we know who Noel Edmonds is.
These three things we have an understanding of.
What if I don't know one of those things?
Well, then we can explain it to you briefly, because those are the three things that we know about.
Great.
Would you like that explation now or later?
Well, the wicker man, it's something that is burnt.
Well, it's made a wicker man. Yeah. This is the tricky thing.
It's a big man made of wicker, and you put people and animals in it, and you burn it, and it makes the harvest better.
Yeah.
Is that what that film is about?
What film? We would like to know something about some people. Alex, in 1 minute, could you, bearing in mind things that we've explained that we understand, could you please explain to me who Sigmund Freud is in 1 minute, your time starting now?
Okay. Sigmund Freud wouldn't put people in a wicker man.
Right.
Does he not want the harvest to be better?
He thinks the harvest is more to do with your mum. Were there any? Did you have mums explained? Did they put any mums in the wicker man?
No. What's a mum?
Okay. Yeah. They harvest people. They produce. They reap. They create people.
Right.
So who do they?
They bloom people.
Who do they burn in order to create people?
Well, they would need to burn people in order to make the people that the mums created better.
Right. It seems to be circular, this process.
Goths come from the same bit of sort of the world as Sigmund Freud. They all come from Germany, I guess. But it depends which Goths you're talking. Where do the Goths... What are the Goths that you know?
Sort of wear black clothing, makeup. Okay. You know. Your time is up, Alex. Thank you very much indeed for that. In a minute, you've explained to us that Sigmund Freud is someone who believed that a good harvest was more to do with your mum, really. And your mum is someone who harvests people?
Yes, harvests or sort of blooms people in some way.
And Goths are from Germany. Thank you very much, Alex.
Thanks.
Nailed it.
Harriet.
Yes.
In 1 minute, could you tell us who Goldilocks is or was?
Your time starts now.
Okay, so imagine there's three Mr. Blobbies.
And of course, we know who Mr. Blobby is because of his relationship.
Noel's because of friend.
Noel's friend.
Yes.
So
there's three of them.
Mr. Blobby has three porridges.
What's porridge?
It's like a harvest food. Wait, we said harvest, didn't we? So it's something that is made by harvest, but then you make it hot.
How do you make it hot?
With the burning.
Oh, so
you know about burning. So we burn stuff, make it hot.
So you hold it to the wicker man and it makes it hot.
Yes, and then it makes it hot. But then sometimes it can be too hot. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes...
Too close to the wicker man.
Too close to the wicker man. And then sometimes... Wait, what the fuck happens in Goldilocks? There's way less. Sometimes it's not hot enough.
Thank you. Thank you, Harriet. Your time is up.
I was just getting started.
Andy, would you like to sum up what Harriet's told us about Goldilocks?
Yes. Goldilocks is somebody who is concerned with the heat of the porridge possessed by three blobbies, Noel's friend.
Thank you, Harriet, for that information. That's very useful. Those were some people that myself and Andy were asking you to explain. We would also like to know more about some different places, because myself and Andy are aware that there are places other than this place. Mm-hmm. Alex, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to me what Texas is? Your 2 minutes start now.
It's very hot.
It's close to the Wicker Man.
It's close to the... But it's hot. Its harvests aren't very good because it's hot. I would say it's not producing as many good harvests as traditional Wicker Man based.
The porridge is cold.
The porridge is cold.
In Texas.
There's lots of cowboys there.
What are cowboys?
They're like goths in because they wear leather.
Right.
So they're like goths.
How goths wear leather? And so they're like goths in that respect. They wear leather.
But they're not from Germany because they're in Texas.
But they're in Texas, which is in America.
What's that?
America is somewhere where Noel Edmonds wouldn't be able to successfully transition his television show to.
Why not?
I think the Mr. Blobby is a sort of... a sort of preternatural force that wouldn't be fully explainable to the American people.
So the goths in Texas wouldn't understand Mr. Blobby.
No.
So Noel Edmonds couldn't do his shows there.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's oil there in Texas.
What's oil?
Oil, it's like there's gunge in Noel Edmonds' house party. Yeah. It's like a sort of gunge you can burn and make things go.
Does it improve the harvest?
For a time, but if you do it for a couple of hundred years, it rather destroys all harvests.
Interesting. And how does that relationship work?
It makes the atmosphere warmer, and because of the greenhouse effect,
yes,
which is like a sort of Earth Wicker Man,
right?
So, Earth. What's Earth?
Oh, Earth is where, presumably, Noel's house party is set.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex. There's quite a lot of information there, I felt.
There was, yeah.
In 2 minutes, you've explained to us that Texas is a place where a type of goth called a cowboy lives. it's very hot there, but the porridge is cold.
Yeah.
And they burn gunge, and that is ruining the set of Noel's house party.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex.
Fantastic.
For that My information.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Harriet.
Yes.
In 2 minutes, could you explain to us what a Games Workshop is?
Your 2 minutes start now.
Okay, so you know, like, the smell of the goths. Like...
I don't know if we do... How would you describe the smell of...
Bad, like a bad smell. That's right. Games Workshop.
Okay.
There's a bad smell. And if you if you go in there as... Have we described what a woman is?
Describe what a mother is.
What a mother. If you go in there as someone... if you go in there with someone that is not like Noel Edmonds...
Right.
Then you will get stared at.
Blobby?
If Mr. Blobby goes in there.
If you took a Blobby into Games Workshop.
Yeah. Yeah.
People would stare at you and it would smell.
Yeah.
almost anywhere could fulfill that description.
There are, it's a real waste of time. How do I describe that? It's a bit like thinking that burning something will produce a response. It's pointless.
Right.
You're saying a Wicker Man is pointless. What is it that they're doing in a Games Workshop?
They're just like painting little things. So it's like they're putting a bit of gunge on a little blobby, and then
who is they?
Oh, like youths. What are youths? So it's like. It's like Noel Edmonds will never be. So like goths.
Right.
Yes.
But less...
They smell.
So they're small goth Noels, is that...
Yes. Small gothy Noels, but less eyeliner.
Right.
And more sweat.
Okay. And so do they produce the smell, sort of the smell only emerge when a blobby enters?
I don't know. I don't know. I need to tell you. I guess that's not important.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your time's up, Harriet. Okay. Andy, would you like to sum up what Harriet's just told us about Games Workshop?
Games Workshop is somewhere which is populated by Noel-like youths who are also slightly gothy in some way, and it stinks. And mums and women and blobby can't go in there, I think.
Possibly because they're putting gunge onto a smaller blobby.
Yeah.
Thank you, Harriet.
Yeah, thank you.
Hope that cleared everything up.
One area of the human experience that myself and Andy are particularly interested in is the world of art.
Art.
And creativity. In 3 minutes... Alex, could you please explain to me what Van Gogh's self-portrait with a bandaged ear is. You have 3 minutes and your time starts now.
Van Gogh is a Dutch artist.
What's Dutch?
Dutch is somewhere that probably would successfully produce a version of Noel's House Party with an equivalent Dutch celebrity. Dutch is a country where they have enough crazy vibes that Noel can transfer.
Okay.
So that's what Dutch is, a country that could.
And in a sentence, what are crazy vibes? Yeah.
Mr. Blobby opening a TV studio door when they didn't really realize that he was going to be a guest.
Our experience of Mr. Blobby is that he is somewhat chaotic.
Yes. He's constantly opening doors that are unexpected. Given that the main distinctions that we've encountered for countries so far is that there's a certain vibe threshold which needs to be met in order for them to produce a Noel's House Party.
Sure. Sure.
Where is that?
Dutch is 4 out of a possible 5 Blobbies.
Oh, so this is good.
Britain is 5, obviously. Yeah.
We're establishing a grading system.
Yeah.
America,
1.5.
Okay, so on the blobby scale.
Yeah, 1 blobby and then a half and scythed down the middle blobby.
And Van Gogh existed in a blobby positive environment.
Yes. And and he chopped an ear off.
Off what?
His face.
Why did he have an ear on his face?
he was on the side of his face.
Right. Oh.
And I call that his head.
Okay, right.
He chopped an ear off his head. Sorry, I misspoke, I feel. He sliced an ear off his head.
Okay. Yeah. Was it moving around?
Only in his... one of his contemporaries Picasso is another painter, would put an ear on his face.
Okay,
Picasso would put an ear on Van Gogh's face?
No.
Why would Picasso do this to Van Gogh?
I guess a sort of random enmity, I suppose. I just feel like enmity is not one I should be trying to fucking help. Van Gogh chopped an ear off his head. For Picasso reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And he paints in a Van Gogh self-portrait. He paints in a way where he is quite sort of blotchy.
What is painting?
Right. It's where it's you mix up, you maybe take 3 or 4 types of gunge.
Yes.
Of different colours, and you mix up those colours of gunge.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex, for your explanation of what Van Gogh's self-portrait with bandaged ear is. What I've come to understand is that a man in a broadly blobby positive environment had to sort of cut off ears that were being placed there by Picasso so that he could get on with painting, which is mixing together different types of gunge.
Mm.
Thank you, Alex.
Good.
Harriet.
Yes.
Could you, in 3 minutes, explain to us the plot of the work of art, Alien?
In 3 minutes, your time starts now.
Wait, what is that one?
Into the microphone, please, Harriet.
Wait, okay, I don't know this piece of art. It's a...
Alien?
Alien.
Okay. Alien.
What do you think it's about?
Well, you guys, I guess.
It's about us.
I don't know. Where have you come from?
We were cloned. Yeah, we don't know where we came from.
Oh, you're cloned. Yeah. From what?
Alexander Bennett and Andy Barr. We are clones.
Oh, you're clones of yourselves.
Yes.
Where are your real selves?
We don't know.
No.
That's not no in idea. Noel's House Party or Goths or Wicker Man, sadly.
Okay. I hope our real selves aren't in the Wicker Man.
Can I Google it quickly or should I just guess what it is?
Use your sort of understanding of the world because you have a much greater understanding of us. Yeah. You know, are there any visual images that relate to the film Alien that you understand?
Oh, the film Alien. Sorry, I thought you said the piece of art called Alien. And then I was... Okay, the film Alien. Okay, well...
Yes.
Well, let me tell you. Okay.
Yes.
So there's... okay, so there's a blobby. You know Blobby. Okay.
Yes.
So Blobby is like... Okay, so Noel Fielding. Wait, what's his name? Noel Edmonds. Noel Edmonds is just... he's gone to go and explore the Texas. He's gone to Texas.
And Noel Edmonds is in Texas.
Is he seeking to understand whether it would be possible to produce the house party there?
Yes.
Is he trying to change the vibe to make it more blobby friendly?
Yes, he's there to find new things in Texas. So he's gone to Texas to try and find new things.
Uh-huh.
But what happens is that he's just walking around one day and then suddenly Blobby comes out of his stomach. And he's like, what the fuck? And then...
What size Blobby?
Blobby is a smaller Blobby than the usual Blobby.
Right. Is it a different Blobby or has Blobby just changed his size via some...
Maybe it's a baby Blobby. It's a baby Blobby. It comes out of the...
How did Mr. Blobby or indeed a baby Blobby get inside Noel Edmonds?
I have no idea. I have seen the film, but it's maybe he ate it.
He ate a smaller Blobby.
He ate a smaller Blobby.
Perhaps when he was in a games workshop.
Crept in through the ear, maybe. Crept in through the ear. It just crept on down and then it jogged out.
And that's why Van Gogh tried to chop off the...
Yes, because he was like, get out, Blobby. And then, Blobby jumps out of his stomach. And welcome to Texas.
Thank you.
Andy, would you like to sum up what we've just learned about the plot of the film Alien?
Yeah, so in the film Alien, Noel Edmonds has gone on an expedition to Texas to try and discover new things. And by the sounds of it, he does discover a new thing, which is a very small blobby entering his body via his ear and then bursting out of his stomach. And that's it.
Thank you, Harriet. Thanks. Myself and Andy have only existed for a very brief period of time, but we are aware that other things happened before myself and Andy existed. Alex, in 3 minutes, could you please explain to us what happened when the serpent tempted Eve? Your 3 minutes start now.
So there was a time when we didn't need harvests.
Mm-hmm.
The food just came without any need for wicker sacrifices. So it was
Where does it come from?
God.
Who's that?
Yeah.
A type of person that we would be trying to appease through the Wicker Man strategy, but a different line manager.
So how has this transition of power occurred?
Because
we need Wicker Men now, but previously we didn't.
A snake told Eve to eat the apple.
What's a snake?
A snake is like a usually green, very thin Mr. Blobby that doesn't have legs and slides along the ground.
Right.
Does that make it easier to get in people's ears?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So a snake is a sort of long, slidey blobby.
Yeah, green. Not very rarely pink.
Okay. Does it say the same thought?
But almost never.
Well, yeah. I'm not willing to say never, but I am willing to say almost never.
Almost never pink, but usually green. Long blobby. And
so there's...
They had a complicated relationship with God?
Yes. I think there's a sort of jealousy suggestion. Once the snake wants Eve to eat some of the apple because a god would be annoyed if Eve ate the apple. There was a sort of...
Two questions.
Yes.
What's an apple?
Okay. So an apple is a sort of spherical-ish fruit that you eat that doctors say is good to stop them coming to you.
Who Who are doctors?
Doctors are...
Who are doctors, Alex? Explain what a doctor is.
What was the third thing that you know?
Oh, we understand Goths. About a Wicker Man, a Goths, and Noel Edmonds.
Yes, no, I hope that was... Anyway, good. I hope there was a fourth, but I had remembered. You know, Goths often are training to be doctors, that Goths are something...
Are they?
Is this Dr. Cannon?
Are cowboys on a similar educational track, given their similarities to Goths?
Cowboys wear what Goths wear, mm-hmm. but Goths are at the age when you are training to be a doctor.
Okay, they're
so
at the right
age. Cowboys are older than Goths.
Cowboys, I'd say on average cowboys are, even though you would think they would be younger given the name incorporates boy.
Right. Given the similarity of their wardrobes, can Goths more easily transition into cowboys than perhaps other people?
Yes.
Your time is up. Thank you, Alex. Thank you very much indeed. In 3 minutes there, you've explained that the serpent tempting Eve, what happened there was a sort of long... almost certainly green, Mr. Blobby, tried to tempt Eve, whoever that was, into eating a round fruit because an educated Goth says it's a good idea.
Write it down. That's what happened.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks. Sounds like a very convincing argument, and if I, with all that I know so far, were to be approached by a very thin... green blobby and he told me that I should eat a sphere because a cowboy thinks it's good.
You would.
I'd do it.
I think so too.
Harriet.
Yes.
In 3 minutes, could you tell us what happened when George Bush read The Pet Goat to the children of the Emma E. Booker Elementary School on the 11th of September 2001.
Your 3 minutes start now.
Wait, is this 9/11?
I love ASMR of Harriet Kemsley whispering, is it 9/11 into a podcasting mic? I just put it on when I need to sleep. It's better than rainforest noises.
We don't know what 9/11 is. We're looking for an explanation of George Bush reading The Pet Goat to the children of Emma E. Booker Elementary School. If that's relevant to 9/11, then please tell us how.
Okay.
But we need an explanation of that.
So, this is very much in... Okay, so imagine... Okay.
Yes.
So... Right, okay, so there's a big Wicker Man.
Yes.
That's flying through the sky.
Does it have people and animals in it, or mainly animals?
Yeah, mainly people.
Oh.
And the impact on the harvest.
Yeah, it is bad. And then...
So it's flying through the sky.
Yeah, then it goes bad. And then, unfortunately, there's a bad blobby.
There's about 20 of them, isn't there? I think about 20, 25 bad blobbies, actually.
Okay, so there's a group of bad, bad blobbies.
Right. There's some bad blobbies, and they don't want the Wicker Man to fly through the air anymore. And then bad things happen. And then there's another Wicker Man.
A second Wicker Man.
With more blobbies on the Wicker Man. And then we cut... to present day, and there's a memorial which you can visit.
I
And George Bush is.
And George Bush is like America's Blobby.
So was he involved in the Flying Wicker Man's?
Oh no, that's the bad Blobbies. But okay, this is right, he's also a bad Blobby.
Right.
It just depends how you look at
him.
Yes.
In 10 seconds.
Are you saying George Bush did 9/11 through Blobbies?
I am really uncomfortable right now.
Your time is up, Harriet. Thank you very much indeed for attempting that explanation. Andy, would you like to summarise what Harriet has explained, that George Bush reading The Pet Goat to the children of Emma E. Booker Elementary School on the 11th of September 2001. What happened there?
Well, I've no fucking idea what happened with that, but presumably at the same time, two wicker men were flying through the air and were commandeered by a large squad of blobbies, potentially with the collaboration of a separate America's Blobby whose morality is up for debate. And then bad things happened. And their impact on the harvest is not been confirmed.
And now there's a memorial.
Yes.
Thank you, Harriet.
Thank you, Harriet.
We appreciate that very much indeed. There are so many different things to develop an understanding of, so we just want to keep throwing some more at you.
Of course.
Alex, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what moisturiser is? Your 2 minutes start now.
So, on Earth, mm-hmm. People like their faces to look smooth, like Mr. Blobby.
Is that why Van Gogh got rid of the ears?
So in the late 19th century, we didn't have moisturizer, so it did have to be sort of more of a kind of razor-based skin-enhancing regime.
Okay, you used to use a razor and now you use moisturizer. Why do people want to look like Mr. Blobby?
It's sort of a societally constructed need to look younger than you are.
What do any of those words mean?
Well, we understand youth because cowboys are young.
No, cowboys
goths
are young.
Are younger than
goths
cowboys.
Are younger than cowboys, yes. Sorry. There is a societal need to look like Mr. Blobby.
Yes. So society is like all of the people in Noel's house party. That would be like a society.
Okay.
So it's like the whole group of people.
Yeah.
And then a need is like Blobby's need to be mad.
It's the thing he does.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a societal need. And then to look younger is the cowboy thing. So we can move on to
smoother and therefore more like...
To look smoother, yeah. So the smoother you are, the younger you are.
And how does this happen?
Okay. You put moisturizer on, which I'm explaining to you. And in the moisturizer, there are bits of sort of pumice stone rock.
What is pumice stone?
It's like Alex knows what moisturizer is what we're learning.
It's a sort of creamy pumice stone. And pumice stone is... I think you're wrong, Harriet, actually.
I don't know if you've ever moisturised before, Alex.
It's a sort of creamy stone.
It's a sort of creamy stone, and the stone comes from a volcano, when a volcano explodes. And a volcano is like a big wicker man in life, but it's already on fire, and you don't need to set it on fire.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Alex. In 2 minutes, you've explained that moisturiser is a sort of creamy stone that you rub on your face to look more like Mr. Blobby.
Yeah, I'm actually very happy with that.
Good. We're happy that you're happy.
Thank you,
Alex. Thank you very much indeed.
Harriet, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what sea monkeys are? Time starts now.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so... that if you go to Games Workshop, mm-hmm. at Games Workshop, there are things you can buy, like sea monkeys. And what they are
you get them at Games Workshop.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's like you buy them and then mm-hmm. you watch them and then you try and believe that something is going to happen, like with the Wicker Man, like you're hoping that something is going to happen.
So Sea Monkeys is sort of a Wicker Man that you can buy at Games Workshop.
Yes, yes, like a small Wicker Man you can buy at Games Workshop, and you really want it to become a blobby.
Right.
But it never does. It never does.
Why?
It never does. Because it's just bits of fish.
What a fish.
I don't know if it is. It's like the blobbies of the sea.
There's a lot of these about, isn't there?
Yeah.
So fish are blobbies that are in the sea.
Yes.
A real sort of French pomme de terre sort of vibe to this.
Yes.
Sorry, that means nothing to you, sorry.
Literally nothing whatsoever. So it's a small Wicker Man that, yes, you buy in Games Workshop and you stare at it hoping it'll become a blobby.
Yes, but it never does because it's just an illusion.
And why would you hope that a Wicker Man turned into a blobby?
Well, because it's like magic. It's like you want magic to exist, but it doesn't, and it's just a load of nothing.
That Harry explaining disappointment into.
Yeah. Thank you. Someone's been burned before, is what I'm saying.
Thank you, Harry. I sort of feel a new emotion, Andy.
Yeah.
Wow, I taught you emotion.
Yeah. Well, I'm given to understand from that explanation that that sea monkeys are a Wicker Man made out of little scraps of sea blobbies that... You buy a Games Workshop and hope against all documentary evidence to the contrary that they turn into a new blobby.
Thank you, Harriet.
Thanks. Thank you. And that sort of disproves the existence of magic.
Myself and Andy are very interested in human behaviour. We're very interested in the things that people do. Alex, in 2 minutes, could you... please explain to me what I would be doing if I were to get a nipple piercing. Your 2 minutes start now.
Great. So if you were getting a nipple piercing, so nipples are things that all humans have, generally, most humans generally have.
Do blobbies have them?
Ooh, I don't think blobbies actually do have them from my recollection. So, but goths have them, but you have to take a lot of leather off to find them. But they often do have, I would say on average, goths' nipples are more pierced than average. That would be a generalization I would make.
Do you think there's any correlation between that and how sort of easy it would be for Noel Edmonds to make his programs in a country with goths? Do you think that there's a correlating relationship?
Yes, I think I actually think there's probably a moderate a correlation between countries that have a higher proportion of nipples that are pierced and countries that would have a successful...
Is this related to crazy vibes?
It's definitely slightly more crazier vibes than usual. But it's So you're piercing your nipple, so you're putting some metal through a nipple. And in some nipples, lactate, which is when milk comes out, which is a kind of human gunge.
Mm-hmm.
And the human gunge nourishes the young.
The human gunge nourishes the young.
Yeah. And so most humans, you know, stop having that gunge at maybe one. And
so you put some metal through where it came from.
Yeah.
Why?
No more country. Closing time. Okay. Closing time at the nipple bar.
So it's to block up the nipple.
Right. So every time someone has finished breastfeeding, they pierce their nipples and that's it for the... Is that...
That's how it works. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Your time is up, Alex.
Why do I feel worse than after your 9/11?
Thank you, Alex. In 2 minutes there, you've explained to us that a nipple piercing is when you use a piece of metal to stop gunge coming out of your nipple.
Yep. Thank you.
Harriet.
Yes.
In 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what we would be doing if we were to go on Robot Wars?
Your 2 minutes start now.
Okay, so it's it's very much in the world of the Games Workshop.
It stinks.
Sphere. Very stinky, but it's quite open air, so that's good. it's got some crazy vibes. Bit Texas, I'd say.
Right.
And basically, yeah, you just you get some you make your own blobby, and then you can make your blobby with your own kind of things.
How do you make your own blobby?
You get
we've already established that sea monkeys is not a route to getting a blobby.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a dead end.
Oh dear. So it's like you'd take an iron nipple or ear.
Okay.
You take these things.
A metal version.
Like we talked about the pierce, like those.
Yeah.
And then you stick them together.
Right. A nipple and an ear.
To create an attack machine that will attack another nipple and ear. But that one might have like a funny hat or something. Or like it might have like a pickup bit, or like a flames. It might throw flames, like in the Wicker Man.
These are lots.
But often they'll break and they'll end up on their backs, going like, and then sad.
So if they're constructed of a metal nipple and ear, mm-hmm. what side of them constitutes their back?
That's an excellent question, Andy.
Well, it really depends on it, but I guess the head.
Thank you.
Andy, would you like to sum up Harriet's explanation of what we would be doing if we were to go on Robot Wars?
Yeah. So it's a Games Workshop adjacent pastime which takes place in somewhere that's quite open air, so the stenches sort of disperse. And a lot of people within that space get metal nipples and ears and attach them to one another, but they differentiate them from each other's nipples and ears by popping a hat on or a picker upper or some flames, and then they try and knock one another over.
Thank you, Harriet, for that concise explanation. One final thing that myself and Andy would like to learn about. There are things that can be said that we don't quite understand. So we'd like you to explain some things that can be said. Mm-hmm. Alex, in 2 minutes, could you please explain what someone would mean if they were to say, those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones? In 2 minutes, explain that. Your time starts now.
So that is a phrase where the person is trying to say it's anti-hypocrisy.
What's hypocrisy?
Hypocrisy is when Blobby's gunging someone, and then he's having a great time, and then when he gets gunged, he's livid, he's furious, and so that would be hypocrisy, that he doesn't like the thing.
So hypocrisy is when someone who gunges other people gets gunged.
That's one example of hypocrisy,
would you be able to give us another example?
It's, you know,
anything you like. Absolutely anything. Absolutely anything at all.
When you burn someone else's Wicker Man. Mm-hmm. To try and improve your harvest, but get annoyed when they burn your Wicker Man trying to improve their harvest.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we're building an understanding of hypocrisy.
So the glass houses are breakable.
Right.
And so throwing stones can break things. Mm-hmm. So if you're throwing stones at other people, yet you live in a breakable house, unlike Noel's house, which was very structurally sound.
Okay.
You can have parties in that.
Could contain the party, yes. What's glass?
Glass is an object that you can see through.
It's any object you can see through.
but it's hard. It's a hard object. It's a hard, smooth object that you can see through. As the smoothness of a blobby, the translucence of a not blobby, and the hardness of a wicker man.
And in 10 seconds, why would you live in a home made of such material?
I wouldn't advise it, but you might if you were a plant.
Your time is up. Thank you very much, Alex.
What I am to take from that is that if you want to throw stones, you should ensure that you are living in Noel's house.
Yeah. I think Noel is the only person who can throw stones. Mm. I think what you've explained, those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, what that means is don't be a hypocrite. And by that I mean don't burn someone else's wicker man expecting your own harvest to be better. Mm. Thank you, Alex.
My pleasure.
Harriet, in 2 minutes, could you explain to us the phrase, you can't make an omelette without breaking a few eggs?
You have 2 minutes and your time starts now.
Okay, so you need to understand what a chicken is.
Please tell us what a chicken is.
Okay, so, right, if Blobby was to have a period. Do you know what periods are?
What are periods?
Okay. So
use gunge, I guess.
Oh yes. So Blobby gunges, but it's hard gunge on the outside, and then you open it up, and then it's gungy in the middle, and then you put it and you make it hot like the Wicker Man, and then you have an omelette. Wait, what was I describing? You have to make an omelette.
I think you're about to explain what a period was.
Okay. No, but okay, so I described how to make an omelette. But
very quickly, and with lots of information, we're looking for an explanation to the phrase, you can't make an omelette without breaking a few eggs.
You can't make an omelette without breaking some eggs. So all I've done is explain how to make an omelette. I haven't described how the phrase works.
Very quickly, so, you said there was hard gunge that was soft on the inside that comes out during someone's period?
Yes. So that's an egg. But you can't make it if you don't break the egg, the omelette. And so that is... I don't even know what it means as a phrase. you can't... Yeah, you have to... Oh, you don't get to keep the eggs, I guess, if you want to have an omelette, but you must use the eggs up. So it's like... I've used this phrase in my life. But what does it mean?
What did you use the phrase
you can't
during
break an
your
omelet
life?
Without breaking
you
some eggs.
You can't break an omelette.
You can't break an omelette. you can't make an omelette without breaking some eggs. So you have to break
eggs.
Something in order to achieve something. So it's like Bobby, Blobby.
Bobby. Going well at home?
Blobby has to cause chaos in order to achieve anything.
Thank you. Your time is up there, Harriet. Andy, would you like to...
I don't think any further summation is needed beyond the last sentence there.
Good. Thank you very much, Harriet. We appreciate that very much indeed. Andy, at the end of all of that, who do you think has provided the most satisfactory explanations?
I don't think I can call it.
I think both Alex and Harriet have been really good at this. I don't know what metric I'm judging that by. But Alex's explanations were very full. Harriet's were very fast, but also full, but really quickly. I feel like actually it's Harriet's explanation of things associated with goths that most of our understanding has been built on. So on that basis, I would say that Harriet provided the most satisfactory explanations.
I will defer to your expertise.
Whatever that is. Harriet Kemsley, thank you very much.
Thank you. Wow.
Alex Keeley, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ah! Oh, oh, no. Dear. Ah!
You have been listening to Born Yesterday, featuring Andy Barr and me, Alexander Bennett. I created the show and Steve Pretty composed the music. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell people about it. Follow us on social media and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.